2 Timothy chapter 2, we're on lesson 3, and tonight the theme is a student of God's Word. That should be one of the titles of every believer. Every believer should strive to be a student of God's Word. And so maybe ask yourself, think about that in your own personal life. Are you a student of God's Word? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. And may God reveal to you and to me from His Word, by His Spirit, areas of our life where maybe we need to be more of a student of God's Word. This is our series on salt and light. Does anybody need a copy of the notes? You did not get a copy of the notes or have a pen to even use, because I'd really like you to take these down and write down anything God impresses upon your heart. Because, you know, sometimes when we write it, we remember it. Here's a verse I remember memorizing as a young person, 2 Timothy 2:15, and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is our theme verse for tonight. And as I said earlier, we should all be seeking to be a student of God's word. It doesn't matter if we've been saved for a short period of time or many, many decades. We never want to lose that learnable, that's not a word, is it? Teachable spirit. We want to always learn. There we go. Get better English here. One of these days I'll get better English. A Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, should never cease to be a student of God's Word. Should never stop. Always learning. Always striving to know more. We might say one of the greatest Christians was the Apostle Paul, maybe. We might say that. Would you turn over, and you may not even have to turn your page, but it's chapter 4 of the same book. This is the last book that Paul ever wrote, 2 Timothy. It was the last one that he penned. So you kind of, when we read this, take that into consideration. He's not a young man. His days are numbered. And he's going to, you know, be a martyr. But look what's on his mind. Verse 13. This is what he asked to be brought to him. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Wow. I mean, that should really cause us to stop and just think about what he was going through his mind. That, you know, he wanted his cloak, but he said, I really want the books, and I really want those parchments. I really want to learn. I mean, he wasn't going to be alive much longer. I mean, what a challenging testimony that is to me, and I hope to you. The first word of the verse that we looked at earlier was the word study. That means when you read that verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, it is not an option. It's not giving you or me the choice. And the understood subject is you. And so when I read that, I'm supposed to study to show myself approved unto God, and so are you. So, but what do we study? How do we study? And this isn't going to be all-encompassing, but it's going to, I believe, helpful. It's helped me as well. Number one, we need to be a student of principles. A student of principles. Not the principal at school. Not that principal. The other one, LES, okay? The purpose in studying God's Word is twofold, okay? Change and growth. Think of those two words tonight. Change, because when you study God's Word, you will change. When I study God's Word, I will not be the same person I was after. Again, you can just skim through and read something, and we're not really going through all of that tonight, meditation or reading and studying, not necessarily to that degree. But so change is going to happen, and then I'm going to grow. I'm always reminded of read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. So that's the purpose of study, is to change. Man, what God's Word changes life. That's a choir song, but it's also a great truth, isn't it? God's word changes lives. And but also, it not only for change, but also for growth. For growth. There can be no genuine growth unless there is an inner change. So if I want to be different, it's got to start on the inside. And God's word is that's what it's going to work on. It's going to work on my inside, which will show up on the outside. But it always starts on the inside. So think about that thought. Inner change must happen if there's going to be outer growth. Those are the order that it goes in. Would you go with me in the Old Testament to the book of Ezra? Ezra. We have him. We flew him in here tonight, and so Ezra is with us. He'll autograph your Bible afterwards if you'd like. Ezra chapter 7. He came and helped at the office today. Ezra and Timothy and Sister Grace, thank you so much for your coming here. And they do most every week. Not Ezra, but he got off school a little bit early because the school has so many people not feeling well. And so they got an extended break. And Miss Ross normally comes. I don't want to just mention them. She wasn't able to today. But I'm so thankful for everyone that labors for the Lord in some way here. What a blessing. But look what Ezra said in Ezra chapter 7. Verse 10, the Bible says, for Ezra had prepared his what? Heart, the inside, to seek the Lord, the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? That's the scriptures. That's the word of God. But not just to seek it for the sake of seeking it. Notice what it says. And to what? Do it. Right? Let's not be a hearer of the word. Only, let's do it. Let's obey. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And it's true. I mean, you can say and I can say, we can talk a big game. But if we don't obey, talk's cheap. Pardon me. You know, action is the key. Do it immediately. Then he says, notice what he says, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So, Ezra followed a three-phase process. Let's look at it quickly. Letter A, seek, to seek. So we must allow the Word of God to make its way into our heart and to permeate our life. The psalmist said it this way, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. To seek God's word. That's where it begins, is the seeking. And that's what he said. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Remember, we're not just doing it for the sake of stockpiling theological information. We're doing it for change and growth. Change and growth. So seek is where it all begins. Now, I have this. I don't have hot water up here, but that's okay. But I do have a tea bag. And everybody here, I think, has dealt with tea bags, okay? And you get that hot water, you get it really hot, and as hot as you can stand it or whatever, and then you have to take this tea bag and you have to put it in the water. It's called steeping it. Some people like weak tea, all right? This isn't a Bible lesson on it, how strong you like your tea, okay? But I think it's a great object lesson. The longer you leave the tea bag in the water, the stronger the tea gets. So think about this. The longer God's word is allowed to steep, all right? Every time you get a tea from now on, hopefully you'll think about this. Hopefully I will too. Now, I don't drink a lot of tea, so I'm going to have to pick up the pace. I don't steep my coffee, all right? But anyway, you allow God's word to steep in our hearts, that's where that memorization is. That's where that meditation is on the Word of God. When that's happening, it's like the tea bag is still in the water, and that verse is just spinning in my head and spinning in my head. And guess what happens? I'm getting stronger. You want strong tea? Leave the tea bag in the water for an hour. Come back. Your tongue's going to curl. All right? You want to be strong in the Lord? You've got to let it. You've got to seek it. You've got to steep it. It's got to be in you. It's got to be in me. Memorizing it, meditating on it. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So if my heart is strong in the Lord, my life will be strong in the Lord. Now, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And while that is true, I do believe, though, that if we can keep steeping and putting the Word of God in our heart, that we can change, we can grow. But there's the seeking that has to take place. Now, everybody here tonight has access to a Bible. Probably we have access to more than one Bible. We have online Bibles. We have Bibles on our phones. Everybody has access to a Bible. But can I say having access to a Bible is not the same as seeking the Word of God? A lot of people have Bibles. I mean, they got Bibles everywhere. They got a Bible in every room, maybe. But are we seeking the Bible? That's the key. You could have just one worn-out Bible, and if you seek it, that's the key. And if I seek it, that's the key. That's what I need. And by the way, it is evident, and I'm not saying let's start looking around and seeing who's godly and who's not, but it's evident when somebody is letting the Word of God permeate their life. It's evident. And it's not because we see them. It's because we see Christ in them. That's the goal. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's going to take place the more time I have in the Word of God. The one who does not read the Word of God is in no better condition than the one who cannot read it. Think about that statement. I can read, but if I don't open it up and read it, that's no difference than somebody here beside me that can't read when I hand them a Bible. What's the difference? Nothing. Same result. I'm just choosing not to read it. And oh, may God deliver me from that. So we have seeking is the first one. And then we have the second one, which is doing, to do. So seeking and then doing. Notice it says there in our verse, Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. To do it. Again, I quoted this earlier, James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Those who know God's truth but do not live in God's truth, this is what James is saying here, are deceived into thinking they are a mature Christian. You know, I'm going to say this. There's people that come to church every Sunday that know things about the Bible. But if they're not obeying the Bible, knowledge is not the goal. God is the goal, always. Obedience to God is the goal. So it could be some very simple person who only knows a little bit about the Bible, but they're obeying everything they know. Guess what? That person is maturing. And you could have somebody that's been saved for decades, like me. Okay, I'm not saying what I'm about to say is going to put me down, but saved for decades, but not obeying all this information, that's not maturity. In fact, that's deception. As James says right here, deceiving your own selves. How many of you in here tonight know that it's right to tell people about Jesus? Would you raise one of your hands? You know it's right to do that. Okay? That was a setup. So if we know it's right, but we don't do it, just let the Lord, you know, we got to get challenged here. We know a lot of things are right, but what do I do? We know it's right to give, but do we give? And I'm not saying just finances. It's giving is way more than that. They first gave themselves, if you remember that. Those Macedonian Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, it says they first gave themselves. So I'm not going to keep having us raise our hands, but I think most of us know that it's right to put God first in our life. So if we're not putting God first in our life, then we know it's true, but we're not doing it. So we're deceiving our own selves. So let's not allow that to happen, because I told somebody this week, Satan doesn't need any help. Do you realize that? Satan does not need my help. He is strong. He is a roaring lion. So let's not help him. Let's not help him with his job. So we've got seeking, we've got doing, and then I love the last part of Ezra 7:10. It says to teach. And that's letter C, to teach. Seeking and obeying motivate us to teach, to let somebody else know, to pass on the blessings. Go to 2 Chronicles 34, please. Remember, you do not need a classroom to be a teacher. Please don't ever think that. That is not true. You don't need a classroom. You don't even need a crowd to be a teacher. Sometimes our life is what's teaching first, and then our lips can have a part of it as well. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. And what we find here is a young king. His name is Josiah. And he repairs the temple of God because he finds the word of God. They find the word of God. Notice this. This is very powerful. I was really captivated once again by this verse. Look at verse 33. The last verse of the chapter. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all, it's all encompassing, right? And all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God, and all the days they departed not them from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. He realized in finding the word of God how greatly they had disobeyed God by going into idolatry and doing all that they had done, that as soon as he finds the word of God, he begins to set an example for the people. He says, people, all of you, we have been disobeying God. We've got a clean house. A revival began when a king, a man of God, found the word of God, put it into his life, right? Seek. He obeyed it, and then he said, okay, now, you got to follow me as I follow God. And that what happened? A revival. Really, a revival doesn't need an army of people to get right with God. Many times, a revival needs one person to get right with God. And when that one person gets right with God, seeks the word of God, obeys the word of God, and confesses and repentance and all of that, and then they say, and then you can see it, we can see it, and wow, boom, we follow that person. That's exactly what happened here in King Josiah's day. If you and I will surrender ourselves to be teachers of the word of God and let people know, God can do wonderful things in their life as he's done in ours, God will get even greater glory. Paul specifically instructed Timothy, pass it on to others. 2 Timothy 2:2. Teach others also. This is teaching and learning. It continues. It goes and it never stops until we take our last breath. That's when it stops. And then we can learn in heaven. But it's a little different, I would say. Now, I'm responsible in a great way as well to teach the word of God to my children. I read this earlier, the week before, in my class, Pastor Sexton, and it was I heard him say it in a lecture. He said, parents are the real youth directors. Parents are the real youth directors. And boy, you know, that's so true. That's so true. Let's pray for one another as we seek to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Moses wrote it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. So while you're sitting down, talk about the things of God. When you're walking, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, you know. Why do we pray with our kids when they go to bed? It's right there in the Bible. Why do we talk about the Lord when they're going to bed? Because it's a biblical principle. It's not something the Baptist church made up. And when thou risest up, I remember my dad, at least 5 days a week, sometimes on Saturday and Sunday, we didn't have a family devotion time, and that's fine. It's whatever, however my dad was led of the Lord. But I remember Monday to Friday, most every Monday to Friday, on the way out to school, everybody's on the couch, sitting down, dad's got the Bible. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. You know, and to whom much is given, much is required. So, and he didn't have a dad that did that. So don't think for a minute that this has been happening for 30 generations in my family. My dad's dad, I don't know if he one time read the Bible to my dad. So, you know what? Start it with you. Start it with your generation. Start it in your home. Keep it going. May that be the beginning. And as the Lord tarries his coming, one of your kids can someday stand behind a pulpit or behind a teaching in a patch club or somewhere and say, I remember my dad used to read the Bible. I remember my mom used to read the Bible. I remember they used to pray to us at night. By the way, don't think that can't happen. It can happen. But it starts with just taking a simple opportunity to teach the Word of God. Wow. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Boy, aren't we guilty of that? I'm guilty of that. 2025 is almost over. We have seen God do amazing things in 2025. And I have to go back and look at my calendar because I write down many things on there for that very reason. I don't want to forget what my eyes have seen. Lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. God's plan is for each generation to influence as many generations as possible. Otherwise, here's what happens. Quickly go to Judges 2. Many of us know these verses. We know what happened. But let's be reminded of it. We don't want the saying to be true, history always repeats itself. We don't want that to be true in this way. Look at Judges chapter 2, verse number 7, please. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Great! Great. Isn't that wonderful? That is. It's a wonderful report. All the days of the elders that outlived Joshua even. So that's a second generation. You got Joshua, and you got all the people that were older than Joshua. They saw the great works of the Lord. Verse 8, Joshua the son of the Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being son of Nun, 110 years old. Skip down to verse 10. Also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Now, here's the thing. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Now, again, I don't know how that happened. I don't know. I just have to speculate. I have to think. You know, God gave me a brain to think. I can't necessarily say it's gospel, but obviously something wasn't passed on from the authority. I'm saying not the police, okay? I'm saying the parents or something. There somebody dropped the ball. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. That's why we've got to keep talking about these things that God does in our church, because as these young people grow up and get older, it's not because we're brainwashing them. That's not what we're doing. We're just letting them know, hey, don't forget what God did when you were 13 years old in 2025, and we didn't remember when we saw that missions giving go up, boom, over 100,000. The most ever given in 12 months in the history. I mean, that's got to be something we keep talking about. It's not so that we can say, hey, we're good. No, it's we can say he's almighty. Otherwise, if we quit talking about that and only talk about the Canucks, boo on that anyway. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? And if we quit talking about that, we're going to forget. Why? Because the devil's very good at putting things into our mind. They may not be even bad things, but he wants to clog this brain up to forget about the goodness of God and forget about the blessings of God so that when a trial or a difficulty comes, I don't even think about, oh, man, I know God can do it. God did it. We got $5,000 in a week. And if God can do that, God can take care of this need. It may not be financial, but God can take care of this need. So we've got to keep talking about it for the glory of God. And it went so bad, verse 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, followed after other gods, small g, gods of the people that were round about them, bowed themselves and then provoked the Lord. So, wow. One generation. That's why we can't take it take thine ease, right? We don't want to take it easy. Because one generation is all it takes. Now, here's one thing to think about as parents and as leaders in the church, and we have influence over children or teenagers or whatever, anybody like that. We train by words. Yes. However, we train first by our actions. So this is for anybody that's having any kind of impact on young people. When our children, and I'm referring more to in the home right now, but when our children see us put such a low, and I know this is the choir here tonight, put such a low standard on coming to church, then we are teaching them something. What are we teaching them? It doesn't matter if we tell them we need to go to church. They're watching. And when they get old enough, they're going to make a choice based on what they saw many times. Okay? So we want to tell them, but we also want to show them. Now, we could say this. When our children rarely, if ever, see us give out the gospel. Earlier I said, how many of you believe it's important to give out the gospel? We all said yes, talk about Jesus. They need to see us doing that. It's not so that they can think, you know, something of us. Remember, you know, I don't want to go too far off the trail here, but I believe the Lord wants me to talk about this. As a father, you are the picture of God in their life. You're not God, but you're the picture of God. So many kids, that's the first view that they have of God is their dad. Now, not all of us in here had a dad that was godly, but we have a Heavenly Father who's perfect. Okay? But it's so true. You read the books, you read the statistics. I'm not just grabbing something out of thin air here tonight. That is the gospel truth. We went to the prison for many, many years. Most of those men in there, the number one problem was no dad. They had a father, but they didn't have a dad, or vice versa, however you want to use the term. You know, they had a biological individual to help bring them into the world without being crass. I'm not being crass. But they didn't have a father. And I don't know if that's the only reason why they were there, but most all of them said that, and I talked to scores of them over the years. So whether it's that kind of thing or whether it's an independent Baptist church, by the way, don't think for a minute that because of that, we're here tonight and we're somehow immune to all of that. We're not. Our kids need to see a father and a mother that love God, not just in their lips, but by their actions. And by the way, that's the most important ministry if you have children that are still at home, and even not at home. Ours aren't at home anymore. I can't believe that. But they're the number one ministry, your kids. So this isn't a lesson about parenting, but somehow it just went over into that. I don't apologize for that because it's so important. It's so important. And by the way, even if you don't have kids, that many, almost all of us in here tonight have, we work with kids at church in some way. We greet them on the door. We help them in the club. We help them in the nursery. We love the next generation, and we need to love the next generation by our life and by our words. Consider a few principles quickly. We've got to keep moving here about how Solomon taught things in the book of Proverbs about teaching. First, he taught, number one, nearness is likeness. Nearness is likeness. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise. Nearness is not likeness. Whoever you're running with, not literally, right? But whoever your close friends are, that's who you're going to be like. Be very careful. Be very careful. Nearness is likeness. It will eventually happen. And don't think for a minute that we're going to change. Rotten apple is going to just all of a sudden become a good apple. Well, I got to be close to that person because I want to. Yeah, there is something to that, being a friend, but don't be too close. Nearness is likeness. Then listening increases learning. That's the second thing. Listening increases learning. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And then thirdly, our own understanding is extremely fallible. My understanding is extremely fallible. I must not rely on self-guidance. This is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That's self-guidance. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So that's number one. That's a lot of information. Student of principles. Student of principles. Secondly, is a student of people. Student of people. As we all know, some people we learn what to do. Some people we learn what not to do. And that's all through the scriptures. Letter A, people from the past. People from the past. As we find a life well lived, strive to incorporate into your life the principles from that person's life that honor Christ and that God blessed. Again, I'm not going to take the time tonight to go through these. We've covered a lot of these, but Gideon taught us that we can overcome insurmountable adversity. 300 to however many thousand, you know. Jonah, nothing is too hard for God, you know. There's other lessons we could learn about Jonah as well, right? Moses, I mean, he's a baby. And actually, we should say Jochebed, his mother, really. That, you know, God never leaves us and never forsakes us. Put him down there with the ark and the Nile River. I mean, wow. God was with him. Crocodiles' mouths were shut. Ruth's life teaches that there is a kinsman redeemer. These are beautiful pictures that we learn from the past. And again, there's many, many more. Paul said it this way, these things were our examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 6. So, and we could even say people in the past of more modern day time as well. Here's something to write. Maybe you want to, I know maybe we won't be able to jot it all down, but these are within the notes, but I felt that it was such good advice. And it really helped me as I was meditating on it. So as we learn from people in the past, here's some questions to ask ourselves as we're looking at their life. Number one, why did God include this person's life in Scripture? If, you know, just meditate on it. We're not trying to be God, okay? But it's good to ask questions. You know, asking questions helps us grow our understanding. And you're asking this question maybe in your own mind, but you're asking the Lord. Secondly, what truths or principles can I learn from studying this person's life? What can I learn? So why are they even in this? Why are they in the Word of God? What can I learn from them? And the third one is, what should I imitate and what should I avoid? That's a big one, isn't it? What should I imitate? That's probably the most practical of those three questions. But I thought, wow, these are really good questions. Why is this person listed? What truths can I learn from them? And then what do I want to copy? And what do I want to not even at all have in my life? So then that's people from the past, and then, of course, people from the present. Okay, we don't only learn strictly from biblical characters. And we don't only learn strictly from people of the past. We learn from people of the present. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Many times we don't recognize greatness until that person is already long gone. And I'm not saying we're trying to lift up man here. That's not the object. I think you know that. But a wise student will strive to learn from people around them. This is why it's so important to come to church. This is another reason to come to church. Because we're learning from one another. We're not just learning from the pastor. When he preaches, that's one person, yes, or the Sunday school teacher, or, you know, whoever it may be. But we're learning from one another. Look at what Hebrews 13:7, God's word says. remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Wow. We are to follow the faith of our spiritual leaders. The word follow there means imitate. It's kind of that story of that individual who was following his dad through the snow, right? And then eventually, there was only one set of footprints in the snow. And this person, somebody asked the child was following the dad, and they asked the child, why did you step in your father's footprints? And the child said, because he had already paved the way. It was a lot easier to step in his feet than to try to make my own way. Follow the faith. We're not following the humanity, but we're following the faith. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The word conversation, we've explained it before, an old English word, manner of life, conduct, behavior. Considering the end of their conversation, where are they headed? You know, it's interesting. I had no clue this was coming and the timing of this was coming. But to skip to it, I had two youth pastors from the time I was in grade 7 until I graduated. My second youth pastor was my youth pastor for the last 2 years, and he was also Becky's youth pastor, my wife. And we went on two mission trips with him, two consecutive summers, and his daughter was in our wedding. She was the flower girl in our wedding. And over the last 25 years, I haven't really had a lot of contact with him. The last time that I saw him was when my father-in-law died and went to heaven. And I don't know, there was, last Saturday, it had to do with Daniel Deku's wedding, and I won't go into all the details, but God put my former youth pastor on my mind. And I didn't have his telephone number. Anyway, I got this telephone number from his girls. I knew his girls. I have contact with his daughters. They're adult ladies. And I said, boy, I'd really love to talk to your dad. Anyway, I spent 1 hour on the phone with him on whatever night it was this week. And he picked up the phone. He's a truck driver now. Picked up the phone, and his voice took me back to being 17 years old. I named him, and I said, your voice sounds like it did when I was 17 years old. How do you do that? He's 65 now. And I mean, I was like, I'm in youth chapel. I'm in Sunday school. I could just. And you know what I told him? The reason why I wanted to get a hold of him, because I wanted him to know how much he invested in my life. And I felt bad, really, that I hadn't really been able to convey that to him much in the last 20 years. And I told him, I said, I know you're a man, but God used you in my life. And if it wasn't for you, I don't go to Mexico twice and have a burden for leaving my comfort zone. And because of those two trips and many other things that God used you to do, and your wife as well, and the life of Becky, I said, we're nobody, but I said, we're not here today if God doesn't put you in our life. And I just really cherish that 1 hour call, and I have his number now, and I'll stay in contact with him. But that's what it's saying here. Remember them that have the rule over you. Look, if somebody lovingly tells you, hey, be careful. Hey, watch what you're doing. It's not because they want to make life miserable. It's because they love you. And so a student of principles, and then a student of people, and then let's go to number 3. A student of the person of God. Hallelujah. God himself is our primary teacher. When we learn the attributes of God and allow God to make us more like himself, we can more clearly and fully be that witness to the lost and dying world. Letter A, attributes of God the Father. Now, there are some that are not communicable to us. Omniscience, we're not going to have that. He's all-knowing. And you know the list, omniscience, omnipotent, all-powerful. We're not going to have that. Omnipresent, everywhere, we're not going to have that. Holy, we're not going to have that. Not in this body, okay? We will one day be like him, for we shall see him and be as he is. Yes, but not right now. It's impossible. We have a flesh. So he's eternal, you know? These are things that are not communicable to us. in our physical sense, we're not eternal. But yes, I know we have a spirit that will live on forever with him. But then God has many attributes that he wants you to have. God is love, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Those are nine things that God wants you to have. God wants me to have in my life. He is just. He forgives. He's faithful. He is holy. We can't be perfectly holy, but we should be holy. God said, be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16. So my life should be a reflection. So remember, we're always learning. We're always learning. Student of God's word. No one in here has arrived. We still got work to do. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. You're not doing the work by yourself. If you're saved, then you have God's spirit inside of you. You have God's book right here in front of you. Wow. I mean, what a combination. Word of God, spirit of God. Guess what's going to happen? Change. If you seek it, you're going to change. It's going to start on the inside, and then you're going to grow, and you're going to mature for the glory of God. Don't let Satan distract you. Some of you are new Christians. Don't be distracted by work. Don't be distracted by this or people or friends. No. Give God time. Give God's word time. Every day, carve out time for the word of God. Let it sink in. Let it settle in. Will change you for the glory of God. So the attributes of the Father, then the attributes of the Son, God the Son. There was only one God-man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, only one. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. I brought with me a copy of a book that was originally written in 1896. This one is not one of those copies, as you can see. It's actually a public domain book now, and this one was reprinted and given to me years ago. But if you can get a copy of Charles Sheldon's book, In His Steps, it's a great read. I haven't read it recently, but I read it a long time ago. And that's exactly what he depicts. It's a fictional story, a novel, if you will. And there's a pastor in the story, and his name escapes me. I read it earlier, but I didn't write it down. A pastor who was challenged, okay, hang on a second, I'm going to read that. Yeah, Reverend Henry Maxwell, I knew I read it somewhere. They're forced to consider the question and its consequences of what would Jesus do? So that didn't just start in the 70s, that's 1896, okay? It concerned a pastor who was challenged his congregation to live their lives according to the principle, what would Jesus do? Wouldn't that change your life and my life if we thought about that a little bit occasionally, you know, like every day? What would Jesus do in my marriage? What would Jesus do in this relationship? What would Jesus do at my work? You know, it's a great, I forgot I had it on my shelf, and there it was, boom. So, I don't know, I was going to say I'd let you borrow it, but anyway, maybe it's, if you want to borrow it, I'll put my name in it. It's okay if it doesn't make its way back here. That's not a problem. I know you wouldn't do that, but sometimes we forget, right? And it's okay. If it was an 1896 copy, I might not let you. You can come here and read it in my Lazy Boy, all right? Just kidding. But that's it. Like Peter said, that ye should follow in his steps. Now, how are we going to know what Jesus would do? Are we going to read this book? That's a good option, but it's not the best option. The way we're going to know what Jesus would do is we're going to read this book. So the Gospels, I mean, they're not the only ones, but they're good ones to read over and over and over and over again. Why? Because then we're going to know what Jesus would do, because we see it in black and white print. And if you have a red letter edition, you see it there too, all right? So how are we going to see it? We're going to see it in his word. So if we're not reading the word, we're not going to be able to follow in Jesus' steps too well, are we? So let's get in the word. Jesus, total devotion and sacrifice, gave his life. We see an example from Jesus, a time to be alone with God. I mean, here's the Son of God being alone with his Father. Do you think if Jesus went alone with his Father, maybe we should too? I think so. We see in Jesus how he dealt with temptation. Matthew chapter 4. It is written. How are we going to deal with temptation? Follow his steps. What would Jesus do? He would quote the word of God. That's what he would do. So we learn from Jesus a flawless example to follow. Then let her see the attributes of God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, One of the famous names of the Holy Spirit, probably for you, I know it is for me, is Comforter. Comforter. John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, Holy Spirit, this name for the Holy Spirit, you can find three other times in the Gospel of John, Comforter. John 14, 16, 14, 26, and 15, 26. We even have a hymn in our hymn book that says this, the Comforter has come, right? Go spread the tidings around wherever man is found. The Comforter, okay, anyway, the Comforter has come, and he's our guide. I mean, we said it earlier, we have the Word of God, and we don't want to be self-guided, because you know where self's going to guide you, okay? I know where self's going to guide me. So we have the guide, John 16, 13. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. If you don't know what you should do about something, ask the Holy Spirit, guide me into truth. I can tell you right here, right now, December 17, 2025, the Holy Spirit will never guide you away from or contrary to the Word of God. Never. It won't happen. But if you need help, and maybe it's not spelled out for us specifically, then ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. It's not a matter of hearing some audible voice out of heaven saying, you know, do this, you know. No, he's going to speak to you in the inner man through the Word of God. Ask for guidance. Then he helps us live for God. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, there we go, this is the way. Boom, boom, God says, boom. Now I can talk if I want to, Ben. This is the way, walk ye in it. That's really good. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. That was before they had the entire Word of God. Okay, that's a preface to that. That's Old Testament, all right? I don't know how to get out of that one. Anyway, that was really, I've never had that happen. Hallelujah, God, thank you for doing that. Ezekiel 36:27. Write that reference down, though. That's a good one. Isaiah 30:21. And the pastor says, God doesn't speak to you. Tell, what about Isaiah? And say it with a good spirit, though. Ezekiel 36:27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Wow, the Holy Spirit. Ah, God's so good. God's so good. Wow. The more we study him, the better we'll know him. The more we study, the more better we'll know him. The more we'll be like him. And you know what? It's a never-ending, beautiful journey. It really is. Wow. But as I said earlier, it's not confined to a classroom. I mean, you could be driving down the road, and God speaks to you in your heart about something. You see something, and God teaches you by even what you see. God teaches you. You meet somebody in the store, God teaches you. You see this and you see that our eye affects our heart. You hear a testimony in church, or we hear the missionary letter and God teaches us something. If we want to learn, we will. We will. It's, do we want it? You know, yes, there's some days maybe the wanter is just a little weak. All right, let's be honest. All right, that happens. But we bounce back and we say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't really want it. But you know, I know I do. I do want it. I want to be a student of the Word of God. Study to show thyself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.